to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around with us on this Wednesday morning. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with me, your show host. You just got to hit me up on that text line. Joining us now on the line, our second member of Congress of the day, Congressman Barry Moore, now of the 1st Congressional District. Welcome to the program, Congressman, and I guess welcome to your new congressional district.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I certainly appreciate the welcome, and I'm excited to get this session started and try to get this country back on track.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of us are hoping for that. January 20th can't come soon enough. Your early impressions of this Congress, the speaker's race turned out not to be as dramatic as maybe the previous one, but how you feeling about it?
Well, so much better. I tell you, I came in 2020, you know, I got elected in November 2020 to the 2nd District at the time, and January 6th was actually my third day on the job, but just not having Trump in the White House, I kind of, you know, I came here and I was like, man, it's been a tough 4 years, but even with the speaker dilemma or drama that we had with McCarthy, you know, it was a difficult time for our country, certainly for our party and trying to pull people together, but I'm excited about the opportunity we have with Mike Johnson as Speaker, President Trump in the White House, and a majority in the Senate now with John Thune. I think there is an opportunity for us to really, really get things back to normal in America.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot to unravel. It looks to me, we'll start with this. Biden on his way out is leaving a lot of traps. He's making things difficult. It's not going to be easy getting even just back to, like square footing.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you got a bad tenant and they've not paid their rent or they've done a horrible job, and then on the way out they're tearing up the property as they leave. And it kind of reminds me, it kind of seems like what Joe Biden's trying to do. He's trying to set some things on fire, make it difficult for Trump to have any kind of success. And it's a sad commentary when you know that your policies have not worked and you're going to double down on them. The American people just sent you a resounding no. And here you are doubling down on the same stuff on the way out the door to spite the American people in this country, and certainly the new and incoming president, Trump. I just think it's odd that he's doing these things. Most of them are executive order, thank goodness. I think Trump can reverse all of that. But yeah, it's a sad commentary, and I'm disappointed but not surprised.
Yeah, well, let's talk about, I guess, hitting the ground running. Lincoln Riley Act, looks like it's the first topic du jour, you know, and these things are moving. This is going to be kind of the pace we need to expect?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we understand that, you know, good grief, the midterms are 24 months from now, a little less than 24 months. So I think we know that the American people have sent a mandate, and, they did that by President Trump winning the popular vote, certainly by winning the electoral vote, getting 312 electors. And so I think that they have sent a message that they want us to get this thing fixed and to fix it quickly. And I think that we need to be moving. I think these are bills, some of the bills that we brought, the Lincoln Riley Act, you know, was last term, but Schumer wouldn't move it in the Senate, obviously. And we actually gained a few more Democrats this time on it. I think they're starting to pick up on the message that, yeah, maybe we do need to deport some of these people that are committing crimes in America.
Yeah, and, you know, I was listening to Senator Britt and John Fetterman special report. They do kind of like a common ground segment or whatever. But Fetterman said, like, look, if we can't get 7 Democrats to see these virtue in some of these things, then we're going to keep losing elections. Is there any sense that is any of your Democratic colleagues coming around on some of this and thinking we gotta moderate, or we gotta change a little bit, or we're just gonna be relegated to sort of a minority status?
You gotta hope that they see that. And I think, like I said, we gained a few more votes in the House yesterday on the Lincoln Riley Act, but you know, Fetterman's been kind of a pleasant surprise. I tell everybody, gosh, I mean, You know, that guy may be one stroke away from being a serious conservative. I probably shouldn't say that, but he's been he actually has sided with Israel. He sided with us on some of this stuff that's been surprising. So certainly glad to have him speaking on issues that should be common sense. Like you said, they don't deserve the majority if they cannot understand that the Laken Riley Act and protecting American citizens should be a priority for the people that the American people elected. So, yeah, Fetterman's been a pleasant surprise, and I think he's right, and I hope that there'll be some of those in the House, man. They resent the whole idea of the conservative movement, the America First movement. Certainly they won't come on board, but you got to figure some of these folks are saying, wow, Trump won the popular vote. I mean, what, 75 million votes? And so they've got to be scratching their head going, we had it all wrong, or at least we didn't fool the American people, and we may need to change our tune. And hopefully they will, Jeff. I sure hope so.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. But Congressman, though, it's this to me, though. If we go back to 17 and Trump's elected, the loyal opposition Democrats were just no on everything. Like, anything Trump wanted was automatic no. And, you know, that was kind of a problem. It seems slightly different, but are you even optimistic that like I said, that you're going to get some Democrats that will defect from time to time?
Yeah, and I think it's twofold too, Jeff. I think that Trump came in thinking that the system would work with him, and instead it circled the wagons against him and his agenda. But if you saw what Biden did the day he came into office, the 94 executive orders he did to reverse border policies that Trump had put in place, and then the energy policies. He reversed everything we were doing, Keystone Pipeline, drill here, drill now. I mean, he wanted to buy our energy from foreign countries. He didn't want to produce in America. All those things, it was almost in spite of Trump. Although Trump had been successful with energy costs, he had been successful with the border. And honestly, he built the best economy we've seen in this country in recent years, except for COVID right there at the end when we had to kind of shut things down. But, you know, sometimes to me, I think that the narrative that Russian collusion and that Trump's a bad guy, we got to impeach, you know, they tried all of that. I think the American people have seen just how weaponized this system is against their voice in the process. And so, to me, yeah, I think it's going to be difficult for them to sell this narrative of whatever they're going to try to push. But let's not forget now, Jamie Raskin's a few weeks before the election, who's now going to be the minority leader in the Judiciary Committee, had drafted articles of impeachment if Trump won and they had the majority in the House. So I'm so grateful that we have the majority in the House, and we'll be able to kind of keep that kind of stuff out of the way and actually get into what really matters to the American people, and not just political weaponization of these agencies and government to come after a political opponent.
Well, I think, like, the country, you know, I don't know about the Democrat or the Democrat base. Those are my circles, but I think we're tapped out. I mean, like, do people want this, like, nonstop impeachment? Elections have consequences, and if they didn't want Donald Trump to be president, he wouldn't have been president. And, you know, Democrats still, maybe some of them want to play the game still like that, but I don't think it's going to be received by the public quite the same way this time.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, in some of those districts where you got a bunch of leftists and where they, you know, they're going to be Democrat and they're going to hate Trump from now on, some of them. But I think the masses in America, if we won 85% of the counties in America that Donald Trump did, I think they see and they will continue. There'll be a few, like I said, in these blue, just hard leftist areas that hold out and members that represent those districts that probably get some 15 minutes of fame attacking Trump. But honestly, brother, I think that the country in general, I think these people that are in these districts where Trump may have won by 1 or 2 points, and he's brought a lot of support from, I mean, when you get Tulsi Gabbard and Robert Kennedy Jr. and Elon Musk and all these people who are prior Democrats supporting this guy, and then he wins in this landslide, you got to be tone deaf to not to hear the message that they're sending that, hey, we want leadership in this country. We want America's priorities put first and the American people first. And so I think they'll have to be tone deaf. But again, there'll be some of those areas where it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the good Lord himself ran on the Republican ticket, they'd be against us. But they certainly have a certain vitriol for Trump. They may not change, but I think in general, the country, this it's an America First movement. And it's unsettling sometimes for some of the Republicans in the establishment and certainly for the Democrats. But I think there is it's a new move in this country. And I think Trump's the leader of that movement. He's doing it under the Republican label. But I think that it's interesting to see the young people coming out for Trump. Like I said, so many prior Democrats, it's going to be difficult for them not to do some of the things that the president wants to get done.
Congressman, let's talk about this within the Republican caucus. And I, you know, we talked off air a little bit about Mike Johnson, and one round, I think it was more of a gesture on, hey, the country gave you this opportunity. Don't squander it. Don't embarrass us. Don't prolong this process with the speaker's race. But what's sort of the mood within the Republican caucus in the House?
Yeah, I think it's optimistic, cautiously optimistic. I think that many of us, and certainly I, getting rid of McCarthy, I think was a bad call at the time when we did it. We went 3 weeks without a speaker. And the problem was that those guys that agreed to do that, I mean, they called a play without a game plan. And then it left us kind of on our heels trying to figure out who's on the speaker. You know, it took us 3 weeks. Mike Johnson came into that environment kind of unexpectedly. He wasn't the lead pick for a lot of people, but he still surrounded himself, I think, with some people who were bitter about the process that McCarthy had been kicked out on. And so I don't think he was always getting the best advice, but he didn't really have a staff in place, a team in place to take over. And it's taken him a little time. And he's done some things I didn't agree with, obviously. But I think now with Trump in the White House and the Republican majority in the Senate, I think that strengthened Mike Johnson. And I think that Trump endorsing Mike Johnson and Trump saying, hey, we got an election to certify. We need to go to work. I am very, very grateful that we went ahead and got him on the first round and said, hey, we're ready to work. We're ready to push President Trump's agenda. And, yeah, there's going to be outliers on spending. There's going to be things that are always going to be issues. And I tell everybody, you know, the Republican Party is far more diverse than the Democratic Party. Maybe not in if you just look at the demographics, but if you look at our policies and our thought, we are all free thinkers. And so it's difficult to get us all on the same sheet of music all the time. And a lot of these men, I believe, are men of just deep conviction. But at some point, you cannot let perfect be the enemy of good. And so I was optimistic. We got Mike Johnson there across the finish line in the first pass. And so, again, I think President Trump will be a part of it. I think the American people are going to be tickled with the results and how we move this country back to what seems, again, just normal. And get a handle on spending, secure our borders, drill here, drill now, drop energy prices. There's just a lot of things we can do, and we can do a lot of that pretty quickly, and I think we're going to.
Well, and that's going to be the key here, I think, is kind of keeping that approval rating up. Such an important gesture here is not buying into, like, whatever the left media is saying, and just realize now, after November 5th, they don't matter as much, and your Republican colleagues not getting caught in that trap and kind of deviating from the plan, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's important that Mike Johnson and President Trump, they make sure that we understand the plan and that it's clear to everybody what the plan is and what the long-term goal is here so that we can all make sure, again, we've got the same game plan. We know we don't need to be calling plays random without knowing the direction we want to go. And you know, I think, Jeff, people have to understand that President Trump's a business guy. And there is going to be – we can't just shut the government money off immediately because then there would be a cash flow issue in the country. And so it has to be a phase of growing energy, growing the economy, cutting spending gradually. You can't do it overnight. But we need to get a handle on spending. It's going to take some time. And in business, you can actually be not profitable but cash flow and survive. But you've always got to have cash flow. So we've got to manage through that process, Jeff, and make sure we slow spending, increase the growth. And then I think there's an opportunity, again, if we all understand the plan and what the president's plan is to get spending under control, but at the same time spend the money to secure the border, spend the money to hire more ICE agents, spend the money to build a wall. There's some things we're going to have to do up front and round up people. That's going to take $100 million to round these people up. And there's some opportunities that we can do in reconciliation to start working in that direction.
Well, it's the bottom line is people want to see a tangible improvement in their quality of life, their quality of surroundings. They want to feel safe as it pertains to the border. That, like, you got to start having meaningful results, right?
Yeah, and listen, Jeff, I think there's a tangible improvement already where world leaders are wanting to talk to Donald Trump, where Trudeau is stepping down, where we're starting to see. I had a fellow from Florida call me the other day. He's an old friend of mine, and he said, man, just the atmosphere, the oppression, it's just different in Florida now. It's different. And I think we're already seeing some things that are tangible. And it's just the emotion of the American people knowing that these people love this country that are in power now, and they love the American people, and we're going to put American people first. And, that should be common sense, but it has been lost here in D.C. for the last 4 years.
Well, last we'll get you out of here on this. What do you anticipate beyond once Donald Trump's sworn in? What direction is Congress headed? Where do you see this reconciliation going? To give us a rundown on that.
So I think what's going to happen is we're going to obviously have to fund, like I said, we're going to have to round up some people. President Trump said we're going to round up these criminals from all over this country and get them out of here. That's going to cost a little money. So we have to have the funding in there for that process. But I think immediately, too, energy, drilling here, drilling now, allowing U.S. energy to play in the cost of everything. As we bring energy abundant, the price drops, and it affects all our goods and services. So that's a way to help the American people. So I think you'll see quick energy policies, quick border policies, hopefully the cost of the growth of the cost of the border and securing and rounding people up, we can offset that with increased energy and the drop in cost of things, so the American people, we can offset those costs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Congressman, we always appreciate your time. Stay warm up there. I know it's chilly, but keep up the work of the American people.
Hey, Jeff, can I do a real quick public service announcement?
Absolutely.
Hey, we're on the 14th of February, we're opening our new office in Bay Minette in Foley. We're going to have offices in Mobile at Tillman's Corner and mobile office hours. So y'all be looking for us. We're going to be cutting some ribbons. We're going to be down in the new area setting up our offices to serve the people in that district. So just let folks know to come see us.
Absolutely. Y'all check that out. Congressman, we'll talk again soon.
Hey, thank you, Jeff.
All right. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.